Welcome to the Radio ECMA podcast. Here's your host, Chris Batstone.
Welcome, and thank you very much for choosing this podcast. I hope you really enjoy it. The Radio ECMA podcast is presented in part by SOCAN, the Society of Composers, Authors, and Music Publishers of Canada. And we're so proud of SOCAN in our country who support musicians and writers all over Canada and get them paid. And thank you very much, SOCAN, for presenting the Radio ECMA podcast. I really think you're going to enjoy this episode today. I'm very much looking forward to the chat I'm going to have with a couple of fabulous artists in an episode that I am dubbing The New Artist Experience. And I'm hoping that through the discussion we're about to have and what we talk about, that you know, you'll get a sense of what new artists have to go through in Atlantic Canada to get off the ground, to get established, and what kind of avenues they might take, including booking gigs and also getting funding and perhaps more opportunities beyond that and what they have to do. So today, we're going to talk to a couple of just fabulous artists, Selby Evans and Zamani. And these artists have, you know, done some things. Selby has released a couple of albums. He's working on a new one. And Zamani has released an EP. And both have played in Atlantic Canada and also beyond. So they're very well versed in what the new artist has to go through to get things going. So I'm really looking forward to this discussion. So let's get right to it. Please welcome to the Radio ECMA podcast a couple of artists who are kind of new to the music scene and in Atlantic Canada and can comment on our new artist experience, Selby Evans and Zamani. Welcome to the Radio ECMA podcast.
Hi.
Hey, thanks a lot.
It's great to have you here. And this is the second episode, so thank you very much for coming on here. Pressure's on, Selby. So I'll come to you first, Selby. Just for our listeners, tell us who you are, what kind of music you play, and tell us all about yourself.
Yeah, no worries. Look, well, you have thanks for having us here on the show. You got a great deep speaking voice there, I noticed.
thank you.
So that's good.
You're sweet.
I basically live in Halifax. I've been here for about 10 years. I grew up in New Brunswick, and I'm a French Canadian. And essentially, I've got a number of albums out. Two of them that are sort of about Acadian history, and my most recent one is kind of a neo soul project. So it's a bit of a departure from the folk thing I was doing before. I studied music at Dal.
Do you have, is it just you? Do you have a band?
Yeah, it's a trio. I play guitar and sing. I did a guitar degree, but I play keys to a synths. I play synthesizers on it. And then it's a bass player and a drummer.
Okay, fantastic. And Zamani.
I'm a singer, songwriter, and producer. I produced my first EP, which is actually out on all platforms. It's my genre is kind of like an R&B, jazz, pop, fusion. You'll hear like a lot of jazz influence in my music. I was raised by two very, very talented musicians. So music was kind of like, it was my only option, it seems, right? So my mother is a singer. She was one of the singers and writers in the a cappella group For the Moment, which toured all over North America and parts of Europe. My father is a jazz musician. And so that's where my roots in music come from.
I want you to tell me about your first professional gig, like the one you got paid money for. What was that all about? How was that for you?
My first professional gig, I think I was 14. Yes, I was 14, and it was for the African Nova Scotia Music Association award show that they have in February. And it was at the old Halifax Convention Center, and I sang a song called Make Me Whole by Amel Lerieux. And my dad accompanied on the guitar. And that was my first professional performance. And it seemed like since then, I kind of realized to myself that I like could perform, because before I was very, very timid, very shy. I did not like performing at all. But after that performance, I guess I kind of convinced myself that it's not as hard as I thought it was, right? So,
why did you think it was so hard?
I guess I'm a really shy person. And it took me a long time to build up the courage to be able to get on stage and to even just like say like an intro to a song, to introduce a song. And so after that day, it seemed like more performances came out of it. People had heard me and had asked me to sing that song again. Yeah, it blossomed from there.
Okay. So Selby, I want you to tell me about your first professional gig.
I've been playing music for a long time. I mean, I started out in classical piano competitions when I was a kid. And then essentially, I think really my first like real gig would have been almost like some gigs I did a while back leading up to my first record. And I think it was in New Brunswick in Moncton. I opened for July Talk.
Right. Great band.
With another band called Tampa. Although they were called Danger Cat at the time.
Danger Cat. I love that.
Danger Cat. And yeah, I mean, look, that was one of my big time first gigs, because I was like, you know, July Talk and all these people around.
Yeah, yeah.
I've always been painfully extroverted, so people had to like get me off the stage. Yeah, it was like alternating between a stand-up comedy routine and with little music thrown in there.
What do you think are the obstacles for artists just starting out in Atlantic Canada?
Well, I think like first off, I really appreciated what Zamani was saying about, I think the biggest obstacle is coming out of your shell, so to speak. Like, really, I think it's almost kind of like letting yourself get out there and play, because I think there are opportunities to play at open mics, like maybe Humanity Cafe open mic or some of these places that are really rad. Obviously, I think the infrastructure for music, like I was saying, is not necessarily the, you know, if you do a compare to Toronto or Montreal, where there's a lot of venues and a lot of people, everyone wants to go out all the time. Maybe the East Coast is a bit different, but that being said, there's such a deep talent pool here and such a rad community of people. So I think maybe the biggest obstacle is actually just deciding how you want to sort of come out onto the scene, and, you know, maybe going to the open mics and then trying to get a booking. Probably the biggest obstacle is getting a booking. I mean, maybe it happens super easy for some people, but certainly for me, I remember like I'd be calling people, and then because it was just so, like when I was first doing it, it was solo acoustic guitar and voice. And it was like one time I did a gig where someone was like, it was like a juried gig at a bar. And the person was like, I was like trying to put out my like socially conscious jazz rap music. And they were like, hey, Selbs, this is a bar. Like, we don't want
play some Seeger.
They were like, man, we don't want to think about that kind of stuff.
Right, right.
Like, so, you know, there's a bit of that too. But I think the biggest thing, I think it's just integrating yourself. Maybe it can be a little intimidating, you know, like, because it's so much to come out and put yourself out there like that. And then, but if you join Music Nova Scotia or Music MB, there's amazing people there. And then there's amazing venues too. It's just finding them and networking. But I'd say that's probably that's kind of the one of the big obstacles, is just where do you start, you know? But then again, if you put something out on even just Facebook, or you get into some of those groups like the Ultimate Online Nova Scotia Kitchen Party, I think it's called. Like, I've discovered a lot of artists on there that I really enjoy. But I think there's a lot of opportunity too, and I think it's sort of about creating the opportunity.
So Zamani, are there any obstacles that you have faced starting out in Atlantic Canada that maybe you didn't expect?
Well, I think a lot of people would say, you know, oh, Atlantic Canada, things are, you know, it's kind of small. You know, we don't necessarily have all the connections, like for say going to LA or whatever. But it's all about actually using that to your advantage, in my opinion. I think kind of smaller, less saturated markets are where you can actually do the best. And so there's a lot more opportunity for you to, you know, just reach more people. And so personally, I'm still like in development with my music, right? And so I'm able to kind of learn from people who I feel like in Atlantic Canada, musicians are telling their story, and I'm very inspired by that. So this is really encouraging me to kind of pay attention to what it is that I want to say with my music. What's the message I want to portray? And I'm just taking in from like my fellow Canadian musicians, different methods of just kind of sharing my creative outlet. So also being a woman in the music industry as well can be challenging no matter where you are. But definitely just creating your own opportunity again, like Selby said, just kind of, you know, taking things into your own hands and making things your own.
I agree with Zamani. And I was going to say, I think maybe one of the obstacles is, you know, I have another job. And I think that for a lot of East Coast musicians, like, you know, there's a lot of people that are just full rock stars and are doing it full time. Mm-hmm. But maybe in Toronto or Montreal or LA, if you're trying to be a session person and you're in like 8 different bands, and then there's so many venues that, so there might be a bit of that too. You might have to work a little harder to integrate yourself in all these different projects out here. But I think that it's worth it if you do.
On that topic, Selby, what are your goals that you'd like to achieve in your career here? Like in your songwriting or, you know, in your artistic endeavors, are there particular goals you want to get at?
It's a Grammy. For the Grammy nod. Basically, I think what I'm really trying to do is create music that is, again, I think like Zamani was saying, there's a little bit of a jazz influence in the sense that there's some chord changes there. Maybe you're not going to hear every day. It's not the kind of formula that you're hearing on pop radio as much. And I also really am interested in music that has lyrical content, which is progressive and socially conscious. So for me, that's where it's really at, is kind of the craft of music. I love that aspect of it. I love sort of going and finding sounds and changes that are different. And then I love getting lyrics in there that are thoughtful. Try my best, you know, like recognizing that what I might think is super thoughtful, other people are like, man, this is just corny and lame. But you know, I do what I can. But yeah, that's my goal for sure. You know, and of course, just obviously, like, you know, eventually, if I could do this, if I could do it full time and tour around.
What do you think are the obstacles to doing it full time in Atlantic Canada specifically?
For me, I think it's just been a little difficult to get the regularity of gigs. Although, like, where I'm also like working, it can be difficult sometimes, and I manage myself. So it can be difficult sometimes for me to make sure I get all the applications in, you know, like I'm always going to get the ECMA application because I never miss that one. But then there's a lot of festivals that I could do a better job of. So for me, I think, you know, that's one of the challenges, is just the time commitment of ensuring that, like, you know, I'm putting myself out there nonstop.
Zamani, what are your goals in your art as far as songwriting or perhaps arranging, singing? Are there goals that you would like to achieve?
Absolutely. Actually, someone asked me this question not too long ago, and I had to really sit down and think about it. What do I really want with my music? And I just kind of wrote it down, and I realized that in general, I really want to just kind of like use my music as a vessel to like see the world. And so whether that be through touring or meeting other musicians, I really want to be able to experience the world and different places, different cultures. You know, my mother was in the a cappella group For the Moment, and they got to see, like, they went on so many trips to sing and stuff. And like, to them, it was all about the experience of just like getting to see different parts of the world, getting to meet people. And that's what I've realized that I want out of it. I really want my music to actually be like, in terms of the technical side, because I'm also like, I engineer myself, I produce myself, all of that. Like, I do everything completely alone. I really want good quality, good sounding music. You know, I want crisp sound. I'm really particular about these things like EQing and certain instrument sounds. I just want that to be, you know, as good as it can be. And then for my writing, of course, I want my music to kind of speak to my experiences in life. And I've found that over the past while, my songwriting has changed in terms of what I was writing about as I've gotten older. I'm able to write more authentically because my experiences in life have been more rich, and I've just experienced so much more that I can write about. And so I don't ever want to be one of those musicians that just makes like fake music. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But sometimes it's cool to just like sit around and make fun songs that everyone can relate to, that everyone can have fun listening to. But as long as there's a grain of me in there, then I'm happy with it.
Okay. We're going to, in the second half of the podcast, get on to the more nuts and bolts of what new artists face. But it's time to play a song. And there's two of you here. And so what I'm going to do is I've got a beautiful Canadian quarter right here. And I'm going to flip it. And the winner is going to get the first song. Okay, you ready? So,
roll.
Okay. Okay, Selby, I want you to call it in the air. So, go.
Heads.
Oh, I dropped it. Just hold on a sec. It's tails. It's tails.
There you go.
It's tails. So, Samani gets the first song. What song did you choose?
Venus.
Tell us about that one.
This is a love song that's just like truly divine love and that kind of interaction with people. And it's really spacey, and I think it just kind of like transports you to space. That was the goal with that song.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Great. We're going to hear it right now. We've got Selby Evans and Zamani on our New Artist Experience podcast. And this is Zamani with Venus on the Radio ECMA podcast.
Up at the sky, and I saw the light. They say you can see Venus from here, babe. If men are from Mars, then I know who you are. We can see Venus from here, babe. You're everything I don't wanna lose. If you walk to meet up in my shoes, you know. Oh, just what I feel for you. You could let me go or you could have me now. But baby, please don't let me down. I don't don't wanna break from you. It takes everything in me not to fall down to my knees when I see you. Baby, take me to Venus. In the backseat of your car, it don't matter where we are, give it to me. Baby, take me to Venus.
Ooh, you got me feeling anxious, but you know I can't help it. All them girls, you know they want you, but not as much as I do. Lately we've fallen apart, but I know deep down in my heart that you are my end and my start. You're everything I don't wanna lose. If you walk to me, you don't wear my shoes. You know, no, yeah. Just what I feel for you. You could take me now or let me go, but baby, please don't hurt my soul. I don't wanna break from you. It takes everything in me not to fall down to my knees when I see you. Baby, take me to Venus. In the backseat of your car, it don't matter where we are, give it to me. Baby, take me to Venus. We haven't figured it out, what loving is all about. Baby,
baby, when you play with my hair, I'd rather not be anywhere than with you on Venus. Oh, 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 oh. No Jupiter, no Mars. Take me to Venus. It takes everything in me not to fall down to my knees when I see you.
Baby,
take me to Venus. In the backseat of your car, it don't matter where we are. Give it to me. Baby, take me to Venus.
That's Zamani with Venus on the Radio ECMA podcast. Deadly song. I got Zamani here and Selby Evans as well, as we're looking at what the new artist experience is like in Atlantic Canada. Selby, I want to come to you here now. How have you toured yet?
A little bit, like very limited. I've done shows around Atlantic Canada and some shows in Montreal and Vancouver. But I've never really gone on a Canadian tour or anything like that.
Just tell me about what the touring experience is like for you, especially for an artist who's perhaps going into these cities and is a virtual unknown.
Yeah, I mean, brutal.
It's brutal.
Fully brutal. Yeah.
Just going to say it. It's brutal.
Like out there selling tickets on every street corner I can find.
Right.
But no, I mean, really, yeah, what it's really like. I mean, look, I was really looking forward to go to the ECMAs, for example, and with my band. But, you know, I think one of the challenges there is funding, right? Although I had applied for funding and I was hopeful that that would come through. And then that's amazing that we have those programs in Nova Scotia. But I think one of the big challenges for bands on the road is money. For me, I remember going to Montreal and like I had everyone pitching in, my family pitching in, and it was a big venue too in Montreal. And it's always tough. Like that's just me. I'm always trying to pay my musicians a pretty good wage. It's also an incredible experience where you get to go out and connect with new people and connect with your band. And, you know, that maybe stress test your relationship with your band members.
100%.
You never know.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I think it's sort of the best thing ever, you know, all the challenges included. And we're lucky to have good funding programs.
What kind of funding avenues have you tapped into?
Well, really, I mean, the first time, like when I went to Montreal to do a show there, it was a French concert. So the venue actually had a program. It was Place des Arts, and they really had a good program, and they paid me enough money that I could swing it. And then for the ECMAs, which unfortunately I couldn't go to Newfoundland this year, but you know, there I had applied for some Music Nova Scotia tour support funding. You know, and I was hopeful that it would come through, but I never found out, and you know how that goes. No, I mean, so yeah, the Music Nova Scotia funding, and I've applied for some Factor funding in the past too. So those are some of the avenues that I've explored.
Zamani, how about your touring experience? Have you done it yet?
I haven't done my own tour. However, I have had many opportunities to perform like worldwide. So I actually went to the New School Rules Music Festival. I did two sets there. It was so much fun, honestly. I wish I could go back this year. Everyone was looking forward to it. But, oh man, it was the time of my life. Like, it was cool because also I found that Rotterdam kind of reminded me of home. Like, you see the kind of connections between like Europe and Canada when you're there. It's really cool. I also had the opportunity to perform at the St. Lucia Roots and Soul Festival, where my dad is from St. Lucia. So,
oh, that must have been good.
The jazz festival. It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was like my best performance experience to date. And I opened for Maya, Genuine, and UB40. It was
ooh,
crazy.
Nice.
It was like the way they treated us backstage, I felt like royalty. Like,
wow. UB40 are one of my favorites. I love them.
Yes. It was just a good time. Like, everyone was having such a great time. And one of the best things about it was that, like, I brought down, like, a whole group of friends and family to St. Lucia. They all came.
Oh, that's the best.
It was the most amazing experience for me, because then I had someone to look at in the audience when I was kind of scared. Like, you know, they all stood there and they had like these shirts on. I had these shirts made. They all had the shirts on. They're all standing there cheering. And it just like, it felt so, so wholesome, so good. I love performing in different places because you get to see the music scene in other places and how they deal with that kind of thing, how they treat you and everything. Like, loved it.
Zamani, do you think there are enough suitable venues in Atlantic Canada for artists like yourself that play original material?
I think a lot of the venues are like catered toward like, you know, folk music, which is awesome. But I haven't like been to, or at least heard of, a lot of venues that do kind of like R&B and stuff. But I feel like it's starting to change. Like, we're getting some more of that. A shift is coming, which is I'm really excited for, because I know a lot of artists like right here in Halifax that do similar music to what I like to do. And I'm really excited to see like places open up so that they have an opportunity to showcase what they can do, because there's a lot of great talent coming up. And I want to see it. I want to see it go places.
Absolutely. Selvi, what about you? Same question. Do you feel there's enough venues in Atlantic Canada for original music?
I think the last gig, so I did my EP launch at the Carlton, which for me is kind
great
of the
venue.
Gold standard in Halifax.
Absolutely.
And obviously there's a lot of other spots. I mean, in a perfect world, I would start a venue. I mean, that's actually something I'm considering. Like, I'd love to get into that scene. And, you know, I think there could be more venues, or I think that existing venues could consider opening up to local artists that want to play original music. I mean, I think that's kind of the raddest thing a venue can do personally. But that being said, I think there are some back end sort of issues that can come up. So maybe that's actually something that, you know, like, to be a live music venue, it can be a little bit complicated, right? It's not as simple as just saying like, hey, come in and play.
No, it's true. You have to pay SOCAN fees.
Yeah, and you pay your dues and all that. So, you know, and I obviously fully on board for that. I think more venues could get on board for sure.
Zamani, of course, this is the age of coronavirus. What are your concerns about live performing moving forward?
A lot of people, I've been doing this. I've sang at a few events here and there since things are starting to open back up. And so what I'll do is I'll bring my own mic. You know, you just take the precautions. I feel like things will take a long time to open back up, but I feel like that's definitely for the better. There's still online opportunities to showcase your music. There's still Facebook Live and Instagram Live and such.
Yeah, but there's nothing like that, like, you know, performing in front of an audience, right? Like,
absolutely. I did not realize how much I missed it until it was gone, because when I got out there for my first performance again, I was like, wow, I really had been missing that. Because like I said earlier, I was like super shy. I didn't like performing at all until like, I swear after this coronavirus thing happened, I realized I actually do love performing. The human interaction, and like when you're finished a song, I was like, when I did my Facebook Live shows, like after you're done the song, it's just dead silence.
It's tough.
What was that? No. I'm okay with being patient and taking the time and taking the precautions, but definitely missing the full experience of, you know, being able to travel and, like, you know, like I said, in terms of how I went to New School Rules and the Roots and Soul Festival, I don't, you know, I won't be able to do anything like that for a while, but
it's true.
I'm willing to wait if it means that better things will come in the future, you know?
Same question to you, Selby. What are your concerns in the age of coronavirus performing live?
Well, I mean, I can't say that I'm particularly concerned about myself. I'd be concerned about people. I'd be concerned about people coming to my show and getting corona.
Yeah.
I mean, for sure. But aside from that, you know, and obviously, I think the clear concern is that are people going to come out in the same way?
Sure.
You know, I think there's a whole segment for me, you know, especially when I was doing the folk music, I don't think the 18 to 25 crowd was my biggest demographic. I'd say that it was an older demographic. So, you know, for that group, it can be a very real concern to come out. And so I've seen a few of these online things where I think maybe people's mindset will change a bit. I'm hoping that people will kind of recognize the need to support the arts. And so maybe they'll be into, you know, Patreon accounts or paying for to join a live concert, a live stream. But yeah, I'm with Zamani. Like, I think it's just about taking the time. And it's very counterintuitive though, hey, because when you put on a show, you kind of want it to be like a total rager, but then you can't do that really. I mean, you can, but I mean, you're really rolling the dice. Talking about rolling the dice.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so that's, I think, a fine balance to strike. And I think it's also, as an artist, you got to ask yourself, like, hey, like, is it cool for me to, like, you know, be calling all my friends to be like, hey, come out to this, you know, like, but I think for me, I'm still doing it. And, you know, I'm still going to be playing shows and everything. I'm fully on board. I'm not really too phased personally. But like I said, my concern would be more for my audience than myself.
So Selby Evans, Zamani, thank you very much for being my guests on the second episode, the second one of the Radio ECMA podcast. Thank you so much for coming on. Zamani, just a closing word here. If you got something new coming out.
I have a video coming out. It's called Outside. Music coming soon. I've been doing a lot of writing since coronavirus started. I think a lot of us musicians have. Definitely expect some new material. All my social medias are under the name Zamani Folade, which is spelled, because, like, who knows how to spell that, right? Zamanifolade.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. And Selby, something new. What are you doing now that you want to talk about?
Yeah, huge thanks for having me as well. I'm actually working on my next record, which is kind of a follow-up to the Neo Soul EP. And that, I think, is a little ways away, to be honest. But then I'm also doing this series of covers on my social media. So it's kind of more folk-based, but I'm going to throw in some different stuff there. So that's kind of what's going on for me.
Shout out your socials right now.
Yeah. At Selby Evans. So that's S-E-L-B-Y Evans, E-V-A-N-S. And that's my name everywhere as well. So.
Okay, great. And Selby, you get the final word here with the song. What did you choose for us to play?
Oh yeah. This one's called Street Kid.
Good stuff. Thank you very much to both of you for coming on the show today.
Thanks a lot. And nice chatting with you, Zamani, too.
Yes, nice chatting with you.
We'll end off with Selby here, Street Kid, on the Radio ECMA podcast.
So in the heart of the world, yeah. Can you feel it? Do you know it yet? I say so in the heart of the world, yeah. Can you feel it? Dusk past roseate light upon Los Angeles. The sun is cradled by the ocean as I take my seat. I'm on the bus inbound, cruising downtown straight into the heart of the city. I catch a glimmer through my window of a fountain of light amid dark industrial shadows. And I behold in a halo the open palms of a street child. No, I'm skipping in the hottest streets of the city. My head to the ground, make no contact with the eye. Strange how we exist in the midst of poverty, surrounded by the faces that we cross so frequently. How we are bound by the chains of indifference, the pain of others and our own shrouded mystery. Now I've been struggling not to make a connection. This ignorance wears upon me rather heavily. What it must be to live out on the street so lonely. For a stranger, I'll tell your destiny. The hottest streets of the city, through the darkness I hear calling. Do I dare to give you the answer?
from the very start. To hold such light and continue to go and recognize, to perceive oneself so clearly in another's eye.
That's Street Kid from Selby Evans. Just a fantastic track. And thank you very much, Selby, for being on our new Artist Experience episode here. And also thank you, Zamani. Her music is just fantastic. She's got a new video coming out called Outside, which could be out right now. Just have a look for it on her socials, and also have a listen for new music from her and also Selby Evans. And I hope that you learned something. I learned a few things here about how new artists are getting by in the age of coronavirus now, and also just moving forward in general. It was a really great chat. So I hope you learned something, and I hope you were entertained by us today. And thank you very much once again, SoCan, for presenting this podcast. And do come back and visit us again. We're going to have more artists from the East Coast. We're going to talk to more people here and give you that content that you love, East Coast music. I'm Chris Batstone. Bye for now.
The Radio ECMA podcast with Chris Batstone is produced by the East Coast Music Association. Recorded at Imaging by Guido in St. John's, ibgrocks.com. Supported by the SoCan Foundation. Music by Cassie Mann. For more information on upcoming episodes, head to ecma.com or find us on socials at East Coast Music. Thanks for listening.